website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we discuss issues each and every day. It is our prayer, our desire, to see you grow in the Lord, that you will understand the Word of God, and that as we watch things happening in America and around the globe, politically, socially, economically, spiritually, biblically, doctrinally, as we see all of these things, we look at them through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. As we look at the truth book, it gives us light on what is taking place. God's Word, very, very clear as He speaks to us about things in the past, present, and the future. And as we look at them combined, we're seeing what God is saying to us and how we should live in relationship to the world in which we're living in. May I say to you, as we face the issues today, we're going to be talking about a very special issue. I have with me Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, both are professors in Conservative Theological University. We're going to talk about an issue we touched on partially several weeks back. Didn't get into the depth of it that we'd love to do so. So we thought we'd do a follow-up on that discussion. Can we trust the Bible? Is the Bible trustworthy? Or if you want to put it this way, is the Bible reliable? When you open the Word of God and read it, can we trust what it says? How do we know that it says what is right? Is it factual or fiction? Is it myth, mythology? Or is it absolutely that which is true without any error, without any fault? Now, perhaps you say, well, I've not considered that. Or perhaps you say, well, I've got a translation that says this, but my friend's got a translation that has a few different words. So the question is also that we'll discuss today, how do we determine what translation is the real Bible? I don't know if you've ever considered that or not. We have so many translations. I think the last time I did a research on that number, I think it was something like 483 different translations or versions of the Bible. So if you were to toss them up in there and as they fall down, you grab one, how do you know which one is right? Which one is more closely related to what we would call the original text in relationship to God's Word being given to us? That's where we're going today. We'd love to hear from you. And right after a brief monologue, our telephone lines will open. We'll invite you to call in, ask your questions. I'd love to hear some questions from you in relationship to what translation you use. Why do you use it? Do you find any problems with it? And how do we know that the Bible is reliable? That's our question. And as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, says this, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just pause for a moment. If the Bible makes a declaratory statement that thy word is truth, then do we say in some fashion there are errors in the Bible, mistakes in the Bible? Did God make a mistake? Did God make an error that we as human beings can find it's, aha, God made an error? God made a mistake. Is that possible? There are a lot of people that think so. There's some that say the errors in the Bible. Listen, I've not had one yet that could point out to me an error in the Scripture. There may be some things that, from the human standpoint, we see in one text or in another text that looks like maybe a contradiction. Is that what it is? That's not what it is. We need to understand, from a human's perspective, there's some things we just will not fully fathom or understand. But Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. We need to stick to the truth. However, it was the secularist George Orwell that made a statement that I have hung on to for years and years and years, not because he was a wonderful person. He was a secularist. But Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. But I've tried to get us to understand every day on this broadcast that truth matters. And I believe truth hangs in the balance, and the truth of the Word of God, the trustworthiness of the Word of God, is the key to truth. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline says, DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. DeMint said in part this, let me quote him, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. I believe that can be viewed as the fundamental foundation for what we're saying today. The church is the custodian of the Word of God. Do we stand on it as being absolute truth? Now, there's some in our society today, 55% of the millennials, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Listen, if there's no such thing as absolute truth, then we can pick and choose in the Word of God what we want to believe and what we want to apply, what we want to reject, what we want to just simply cast out. 55% say that each person determines their own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that we seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and defend it even to death. And the fundamental foundation, fountainhead of truth, is the Word of God. Thy word is truth, John 17:17. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Old St. Augustine Road, 11291, is right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Find that flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Dr. Davis, thank you for coming to join us. Dr. Phelps, thank you for being here. We're delighted to have the two of you, especially with this wonderful subject we'll be talking about today. Let's not get into the details of where we're going today, but Dr. Davis, take just a moment and tell us why you trust the Bible. Then I want Dr. Phelps to do the same thing.
Well, amen. First, I want to say good morning to my bride of now 39 years.
39 amen. Years. Just we've celebrated that 39
officially, year. Officially. Thank God. Amen. Love you so much and all my family and friends. Amen. That are listening to all of you that are asked to tune in by ilovethetruth.com. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. For listening and supporting on today. But Dr. Youngblood, amen. The most important thing to me about knowing, and I'm talking about really, really knowing, that God is real and that His Word is the truth, and that the Bible is accurate in all things, is because that Scripture lets me know. Now, we have to be a firm believer in Scripture. If we say that we are believers and that we are born again and that we are in the family of God, then we must trust His word.
Amen.
We must accept His word. Amen. So it is the revealed, the written, the God-breathed, written, revealed, inspired word that was given by God to mankind. Now listen, God didn't need to know who He were. We needed to know.
Right.
So He sent us that in His word. But when we consult the scriptures, that this is what you believe in, and I hope that you do as you're listening to us on today, I found, amen, where in Exodus chapter 24, the very first time that God said unto men, amen, that He's the writer, amen, of the word. And this is the reason why we should believe in it. Exodus 24 and verse 12 said, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tablets or tables of stone. And it says here, and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. That's all I need to know.
Amen.
I don't need to go any further, because this tells me that God is the one, and if we want to bring it up to today's language, God is the one that wrote the Bible.
Amen.
And I don't think that He would give us any incorrect information, and I'll say it like this, amen, because the older people in the church, amen, I thank God for them so much that I was brought up under the old way, the old landmark.
Amen.
I heard an old lady say, God will never lead you down a dead-end road.
That's right.
So that's, we can trust that
amen.
Word.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Phelps, what do you say as just a very poignant point of why do you personally believe the Bible is reliable?
I heard the gospel when I was 19 years old. I had been brought up in relatively religious home, and the Bible was respected. But I heard the gospel, and someone put their finger on John 3:16 in Amen. The Bible. And I was convinced that God cared for me. God loved me enough to send His Son to be my Savior.
Amen.
For God so loved the world. And the man, the soul winner, said, you're in the world, aren't you, Neil? And I said, yes, sir. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He said, now that's Jesus Christ, God's Son. That whosoever, and He says, now whosoever is a word that means includes everybody like you and me. And I shook my head, yes. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And He said, do you want to believe on the Lord Jesus as your Savior and receive Him now? I said, yes, sir. Ever since then, I've believed the truth of the Word of God and know that my life was changed. So I'm no longer what I was.
Amen.
I'm no longer an unbeliever. I'm no longer unsaved, unregenerate.
Amen.
But I have the hope of heaven. And when that happened, it was just as if someone pulled this string, turning on the lights.
Amen.
Pull inside of me.
I like that.
That's one of the reasons that I believe the Bible is true.
Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. And if we would do this, let's not necessarily restrict, but let's focus on the question today for your answer, your question and your comments, dialogue and discussion, focused on the Bible. Can we trust it? Do you trust it? Is it reliable? What are your questions about the Bible? Do you have questions and comments? Perhaps you've heard some dogma, religious denominational dogma in your denomination, and you wonder, is that real biblically? Does it fit? See, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that I want us to try to get beyond today, want us to go beyond the denominational dogma. There's a lot of people that believe a lot of things that simply is not fountain-headed and founded and fundamental of the Scripture. We want us to go back to that. And since we go back to that and we accept your calls on that basis, love to hear from you. We have those today that somehow, some way, look at the several different versions of the Bible and ask the which Bible can we trust? How do we know? Some believe the Bible is just a collection of myths, and others say it's a collection of writings of men and cannot be trusted. We have several things. Let me touch on two or three fundamental questions, and then we'll take our callers. Where does the Bible come from? Where does it originate? Is it man or God? Does the Bible contain errors? If so, where? Is the Bible authoritative? Does the Bible have authority in your life and in mine? What does the Bible say to us today in relationship to what's happening in the world? What do we see? Does the Bible relate to that at all? Does the Bible teach us something that's factual or in some way fictional? How should we respond to the Bible? Should we take it as a direction for our lives, or should we pick and choose what we want to believe and follow? What about the multitudes of translations? How do we find the right translation? Today we hear so many professing Christians, as well as so many pastors today, that will embrace the woke culture, the LGBTQ agenda, and denominational dogmas, and will claim that the Bible says it's okay. Does the Bible say that homosexuality is okay? Does the Bible say that the LGBTQ agenda is okay? Does the Bible say anything about the woke culture in which we're living in? What does the Bible say about life and living? I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I know you all are blessed.
Yes, sir.
Number one, yes. I know the Bible is true. And I know that because the Word of God is true. Like Jesus said, you listen to me, you're going to learn the truth. But I just want to throw this in. I have never seen an archaeologist get any kind of reference to the Palestinians being in Israel. They always find, like, the Dead Sea Scrolls and stuff like that. So it's real. And I mean thousands of years, it's real. And I just leave that alone.
Kenneth, you're exactly right, and thank you for that bit of information. And let me just touch on that, and it's not a major thing as we're talking about today. No such thing as the ethnic group of Palestinians back under the Roman domain and oversight of what is now Israel. They called it Palestine, the land of Palestine. No such thing as Palestinians. We have today, it's the nation of Israel, and the Arab jihadist that did not want to have anything to do with the Israel as it was then, tumbleweeds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, not productive. But after the Jewish people, it was made a homeland for them May 14th, 1948. Then ever since then, the Arab jihadists want to come in and slaughter the Jews and take it. And we have a major uprising in America today by the, quote, Palestinians, simply Arab jihadist, if you want to give them the correct name, that's trying to destroy the Jewish people. God's word is very clear that he'll destroy any people, any nation that comes against the nation of Israel. And I think that our leadership knows that, present leadership. Our previous leadership did not recognize that at all. But we need to recognize that God's word is inspired, infallible, without error, without admixture, and will stand. Every jot and every tittle, the scripture says, is valid and will stand. So, Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Santiago's on the phone. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning. God bless you. Dr. Youngblood, on the visit that you have there. Well, the Bible that I use is Scofield Studies book. I like Reina Valera, 1960. And the Word of God is true. The Bible is true because it's like God, Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John 4 that river of water's going to run into you. Inside, that's what I feel is like my experience with God, because when you have God in your heart, everything changed in your life. That's what I have to say, Dr. Jambler, and just God bless our president.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for that footnote comment. That's exactly right. We need to praise the Lord for the president that he's placed in office by divine intervention. We need to ask God to continue to bless him and give him wisdom. You touched on the fact that he used the Scofield edition. Is it C.I. Scofield? Is that his name? Scofield, first of all, there was one 1908. You said yours is 1960. It is a good translation. The difference in what you find with what is called the Ryrie Study Bible, the Scofield Study Bible, et cetera, et cetera. The primary difference in that is the footnotes and then the commentary that's usually at the bottom of the pages or the side notes in the Bibles. Now, those footnotes by the different commentators, i.e., like Scofield and Ryrie and others, they're not necessarily inspired. Not saying that they're all wrong, but there could be things that we would disagree on in some of those different writers. But for the most part, I would say that the Scofield Bible, the one that has been around for many, many, many years, is fantastic, a good translation. Dr. Phelps, do you have any comment on that?
Many of the Scofield notes that I have studied are accurate in my thinking.
Right.
I do not agree 100%
right
with Brother Dr. Scofield, but I sure appreciate him. He has some good thoughts, and I believe that he really loved the Bible.
Amen. Absolutely. I have a little thing, and I won't get into the details of it today. He was the dispensationalist, five dispensations. I teach dispensationalism in the college, you could call me a 9-point dispensationalist. Some say 7 dispensations. Maybe I'm a hyper dispensationalist, but I've divided into 9 as I teach that in the classroom. But Santiago, that's a good translation. Thank you for your call. God bless you and keep looking up. I believe Terry's on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Can
go
you
ahead
hear
with
me?
The question. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I believe that any Christian, if they read the Word of God, they would know that it's true. And also, too, we have a spirit within us that tells us the truth. Because unless we read the Bible, it's only other people's opinions. But a true reader, and the one that God will give rhema from up on high, that's like nothing you can experience. And the spirit in you, you know you've been changed. And that something, God, who sent his son, Jesus Christ, came and experienced everything we have. And then he left his this comforter. Dr. Youngblood, it can't help but be true. It can't help but be true.
Absolutely. Terry, you're exactly right. And when we talk about the fact of the Scripture, as I've used the term quite often, several things. The Bible is a perfect book. It's written by God. The Bible is a powerful book. It transforms our lives as we study it. The Bible is a very personal book. It provides us with wisdom and direction for our lives. Proverbs talks about getting wisdom. That's talking about God's Word. The Bible is a purposeful book. According to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it brings us to maturity in our Christian life. And so, absolutely. Terry, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your comments. It is my prayer today, ladies and gentlemen, that as we talk about this subject, can we trust the Bible? Is the Bible reliable? That you will bring forth the questions. Everybody has got a question about the Scripture. As we talk about it, so often there are those that will say, well, you know, I agree with this part and don't agree with that part. We can't take the Bible and pick it apart and use a penknife and cut out what we disagree with and simply apply what we agree with. That's not the approach that we need to take with the Bible. I believe that Satan brings about confusion about God's Word. And that confusion is derived, in my opinion, from several sources. Number one, I believe that confusion is brought about as a result of man's getting involved with the merchandising of the Bible to the point that just about anything is printed today and then stamped on the front of it, Holy Bible, and people will embrace it and call it is my Bible. It is truth because it says Holy Bible on the outside of it. But from the very beginning, Satan has said, yea, hath God said. with a question, a challenge about the Word of God. And that started in the Garden of Eden. But ladies and gentlemen, as we talk with Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis today about that subject, we're asking the question, can we really trust the Bible? Is it reliable? So I've got a question I'm going to toss out to Dr. Davis and to Dr. Phelps, get each one of them to comment on it. Are all translations of the Bible reliable? Are all translations of the Bible reliable? Either one can go first.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Dr. Youngblood, I mean, I try to advise people to stick with the King James Version.
Amen.
Simply because we have it recorded. Let me put it this way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go back and research it for yourself if you'd like to. But the King James Version, from the way I understand it, is the book that's more closely translated from the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Amen. That's right.
And when we look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, we know that the prophets back during that time when they wrote them, Peter said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had to give them what to write, because we have to understand God didn't come here in person, but he did speak with people and he dealt with them through his spirit.
Amen.
So when it comes down to other translations for me, and this is what I found out in my 40 years of study in the scripture since I've been in Christ.
Amen.
When you take away a word or a phrase out of a verse of scripture, to me, this is my opinion, you take away the power.
That's right. That's right.
Out of what God actually wants to perform in your life. If you will simply read it, believe it, and do it. Take the Nike approach.
Right.
That's what I tell my people at my church.
Yeah.
Take the Nike approach. Just do it.
That's right.
And then you will find out how much power God really has, because he will blow your mind if you will simply do it the way he said to do it in his word. He wants to prove out to you that he cannot lie. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. I teach that at my church also. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says God cannot lie. And when you go to Hebrews chapter 6, it says it's impossible for God to lie.
Right.
So then if we can just accept that at face value and not be like the hard-headed Israelites, and I'm going to read this and let Dr. Phelps come in. Here's what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse, I'm sorry, chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. He said, but even until this day, that means the present day to me. I don't know what it means to everybody else.
Right.
But again, we're talking about taking the word face value, so
Amen.
That's why
Amen.
It has so much meaning. Unto this day, he said, when Moses is read, that's the Old Testament, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, verse 16 said, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Mm-hmm. So there it is. You mentioned earlier about how Satan challenged Adam and Eve with, has God said? Well, he planted that seed of doubt in the very first beginning. So guess what? It's still sprouting.
Still sprouting. Absolutely.
Right now today.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to allow that to take place in your life, you will never come to the proper knowledge of God.
Right.
So that's what it means to me.
Absolutely. Let me touch on this, then Dr. Phelps, let you follow up on that question. Are all the translations reliable? Let me explain this to our listeners. I am not a King James only. I believe the King James is the only translation that's reliable. And the reason I say that, because I was listening to the radio some 38, 40 years ago. We had not been in Jacksonville too long. And I was driving down the highway and listened to a local pastor. And he said, listen to me. If you're reading out of any other version than the King James, you're going to die and go to hell. And I almost wrecked my car. So I tell people, you can read in any translation you want to. When you really want to know the Word of God, when you really get serious about wanting to know the Word, you're going to go to a King James text to read it.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps, what
Amen.
Say you?
I would like to call attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as Dr. Davis has done. That's a good passage of Scripture because it has to do with the truth. Mm-hmm. You see, we don't come to believe or come to understanding the word faith apart from truth.
Mm-hmm.
Truth, when we hear the truth of God's word, builds faith. or generates faith in our hearts.
That's right.
It takes truth. You cannot believe unless you hear the truth.
Amen. That's correct. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We're going to take the top of the hour news break. Be right back right after a minute, and we'll continue as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WT